Leverage is not risky. Many financial advisors will tell you that higher returns mean higher risk. In other words, leverage is risky. That is absolutely false. Leverage is only risky when people invest in assets that they have no control over. If a person has control, leverage can be applied with very little risk. The reason most financial advisors say that higher returns means higher risk is simply because they sell only investments that allow very little control. As mentioned above, my $17 million apartment house in Tulsa is a good investment to use leverage with because I have control over the operations, and the operations, that is, income collected through rents, determine the value of the investment. A house is not a good investment, and leverage is risky with a house because you do not control the value of the house. The value of a house is based on the market and the purchasing power of the currency it was purchased with. These things are out of your control. What is control? The major flaw in paper assets, such as savings, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and index funds, is the lack of control. And because you have no control, it is difficult and risky to apply leverage. Because these paper assets offer very little control, it is difficult to get a bank to lend you any money to invest in these assets. Financial intelligence is the key to control. Financial intelligence is the key to control. Financial intelligence increases control, and financial IQ measures the financial returns of financial intelligence. Take the 300-unit Tulsa apartment house as an example. Number 1, the income column. The first step after acquiring the property is to increase the rent. The property is already profitable and cash flows with existing rents. In other words, I am already making money from day one. Even so, the objective, or business plan, is to raise the rent per unit to an additional $100 a month over the next 3 years by the following means. Raising the existing rents that are under market. Installing washers and dryers in all the units and charging extra for rent. Completing improvements to the property like landscaping and new paint. All of these can be completed by using the bank's money, not mine. When we provided the bank our business plan, these improvements were part of it and were factored into the total loan amount. Multiplying 300 units by $100 over 3 years, this increases the entire project's monthly income by $30,000 a month, or an additional $360,000 a year. This increase in income is an example of control and leverage. If the plan works, 3 years from now, my financial IQ number 4, leverage, will be infinite because the increase in income will be achieved by no additional capital from investors, just good knowledge of how to manage the asset, control, to higher and higher profitability. The increase in financial IQ is infinite because the increase in income will be achieved by using investor control and the bank's money. Number 2, the expense column. The next controllable objective is to lower expenses. This is done in different ways. One specific example is by reducing labor costs through reduced administrative costs. Since we own other properties, many costs can be brought back to the main company. These are sometimes called back office expenses. They are the cost of accountants, bookkeepers, attorneys, and administrative staff. Other expenses that can come down are insurance, property taxes, water consumption, maintenance, and landscaping through better cost management and economy of scale. Also, expenses can be reduced and income can go up by keeping turnover low, the time it takes to re-rent an apartment. For example, the moment a tenant informs the management company that he or she is leaving, an ad is run advertising the apartment's availability. Once vacated, the cleaning crew comes in that day, and the apartment is ready to show to a potential new tenant that night. And in many cases, an apartment is rented before the existing tenant even moves out. Obviously, many incompetent investors fail to reduce expenses and actually increase them, making the property a bad investment. Often they fail to manage the quality of tenants and the attractiveness of the property because they are trying to save money. In most cases, the property goes down in value. It's these poorly run properties that we like to buy because we can turn them into good investments through good property management. In other words, we make good money from bad investors.